Welcome to Chip Chat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts around the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
Welcome to Chip Chat. My name is Allison Klein. On today's program, we are going to be talking about something called risk replacement. I've got Owen McConnell in the studio with me today. Welcome, Owen.
Good morning, Allison.
Owen, what do you do at Intel?
I'm what was called the risk segment manager within Intel Server Platform Group, and my focus is on Intel's strategy to go and compete against risk architectures. And so when I say risk, I mean architectures that are Spark and Power-based, made by two of Intel's competitors, Sun and IBM.
So obviously, RISC has gotten a lot of attention in the media over the years. How long has RISC been out in the marketplace, and what is its historic place in terms of data center applications?
So RISC has been around for several decades at this point in time, and that was one of the predominant architectures for the data center before CISC actually evolved into x86 architecture, which is something what Intel offers today. So it's two different standards. Unfortunately, never became one standard, which would have made life an awful lot easier for us. But what we've seen as x86 has become more capable for the data center, we've seen, you know, RISC trending downwards and x86 trending upwards.
What are the biggest challenges in terms of migrating workloads from a legacy RISC architecture to an x86 architecture? What are the steps that a customer would have to go through, and what's the time frame for that type of transition?
With Spark and with Power, there's two different paths. So if we look at the operating system on Spark, whether it's OpenSolaris or whether it's Solaris 10, their enterprise version, both of those operating systems run on Xeon. So the migration path for a customer who's on Solaris on Spark, they've got this world of choice. If they want to stay with Solaris, it's a simple case of porting and recompiling their code. If it's an off-the-shelf industry database like Oracle, very simple to move. If you want to go to Linux, it's a little bit more complicated because obviously you're not going to be working with a similar tool set than you're used to with Solaris. But again, the path to actually move from Solaris to Linux is there in terms of the ability to just go and port and recompile your code. With Power, it's a little bit more challenging in that Power is predominantly served by the AIX operating system. AIX doesn't run on a Xeon-based architecture today. But what we have seen is companies like Microsoft have brought out the ability to have a portion of a workload migrating slowly to Windows. You can have a portion of a workload remaining on AIX. So they've come up with this coexistence model where gradually they can help customers make this transition. So there are routes out there to help people make this move.
Now, it seems pretty obvious to me why folks would want to migrate off of some of these legacy architectures. But when you go out and talk to customers, what's in it for them in terms of making these moves, putting the time into migration?
So IT organizations are under increased pressure, you know, to keep the business running, do more, meet all of the needs of their business partners, but in a decreased spending environment. And one of the things that's certainly there for organizations today is if they actually move from RISC architecture over to x86 Xeon architecture, there's a significant total cost of ownership saving. So we can show and we can demonstrate how people can save not only on the hardware cost, but there's also significant savings to be made on licensing costs with products like Oracle Database, where it's licensed per core. There's also costs that can be saved around the energy costs on these platforms. We've got better energy efficiency. And we've also seen that you can reduce your support costs, whether it's your maintenance costs, your operator costs, or whether it's a lot of these expensive support contracts that are typically put in place around the Spark or Power architectures. We believe that it's not only just total cost of ownership, which is the business benefit for the organization, but if we can show them ways that they can actually do more with less dollars, then it delivers all of the business value that they're being asked to do by their business partners.
Now, I enjoy reading your blogs. I blog too for Chip Chat. If any of our viewers want to read your blog on energy efficiency, where can they find that and other information about risk replacement?
So if you go to intel.com server, it brings you into the Intel server room where you can see blog posting and you can search by author. So you can search under my name. We have a couple of different risk entries there. Some very simple stuff around the architectural differences, some comparisons on energy efficiency, some responses to claims that have been made in the industry recently around Spark being better than Xeon. So we've just responded with a lot of factual data. So that's available on intel.com server under blogs and look up under my name.
Well, Owen, it sounds like you've got your hands full with migrating all of those customers over to Xeon products. Thanks for coming in today and talking to us. We look forward to having you on the program again in the future.
Great. Thanks, Allison.